standing back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, and Nix makes the catch for the touchdown. He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary.
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20.
Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do. Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Climbs the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes! Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure. Brady's chased. Brady heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone. A jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now, here's your host, Lance Meadow.
And this is the Giants.com postgame extra show. So glad you could join us as the Giants head cross-country to San Francisco and take care of business and then some. 26-3 is the final as the Giants clearly shut down the San Francisco 49ers offense. This was the number one rushing attack in the NFL. With over 196 yards per game, they held them to 80. This was a team that boasted the top quarterback in the NFL when it came to passer rating and protecting the football. They picked him off three times. This was a team that had one of the most dynamic special teams units. The Giants edged them in that category as they were able to get favorable field position off of the turnovers and also the David Wilson returns, a big 63-yard return that helped set up the Ahmad Bradshaw touchdown early in the third quarter. And that was a big momentum swing, as the Giants could have done even more damage late in the first half when they were knocking on the door. Lawrence Tynes had a field goal blocked. The Niners get a big passing play. Akers, fortunately, misses the field goal, so the Giants dodge a bullet. It's still a 10-3 game at halftime, and the Giants make a big statement with the football in their possession to start the third quarter. And that set the tone, that set the tempo. They never looked back. And the Niners could not gain any rhythm whatsoever on offense and even on defense. This is a team that at times when their offense has been out of sync, they let their defense carry them. And the defense could not even contain the Giants' running game today. This was a Niners defense that only gave up just over 81 yards per game. Giants had 149 yards on the ground, 116 via Bradshaw. And Bradshaw, once again, was the workhorse. He had the bulk of the carries, ran the ball 27 times, got a touchdown to boot. It was all positive yardage for Bradshaw. He took what the defense gave him. He took what the offensive line gave him. He didn't dance. He didn't try to create something out of nothing. He didn't take risks. They played smart, fundamental football. And they protected the football. That should be at the top of the list. Because I said in the pregame show, whoever protects the football better is going to win this game. And the Niners coughed it up three times. Three interceptions. The Giants didn't turn over the ball. They did not give the Niners offense any gifts. They didn't give the defense any gifts. And they continued to move the chains, and just about all of their drives ended up with points. And field goals are field goals. You know, 3 points in a game like this, that continually increased and boosted their lead. And there's nothing to be frustrated over that. I mean, clearly the Giants would have liked to have walked away with touchdowns when they had the ball on the San Francisco 12 and the San Francisco 5, thanks to the Antrel roll interceptions. But at the end of the day, you're walking away with points. And they continued to just add to that comfortable cushion, put their defense in a comfortable position, take the pressure off of the offense, where the offense didn't have to mount a comeback in the fourth quarter. You know, this was similar to that Panthers game. You come out, you get off to not necessarily a huge, strong start, but they got things back on track in that second quarter to make it a productive first half. And they carried that the rest of the way. And the defense recording 6 sacks today, 3 interceptions, a couple of quarterback hits. They made it very difficult for Alex Smith. When you have a quarterback that came in with 1 interception and last season did a phenomenal job in protecting the football, only had 5 picks, you know you're doing something right on defense. The scheme was executed to perfection today. And Antrell Roll also made some interceptions that, regardless of the scheme, you got to tip your cap to Antrell Roll. I mean, he was a huge playmaker for them in the second half. He got his hands on some footballs that I don't know if a lot of players, no matter how gifted they are athletically, would have been able to carl. So that was huge for the Giants' defense to really halt some Niners' drives and take away any momentum. And the Niners also let some plays slip away. There was a Manningham play where he beat Webster. But overall, the Giants' defense from top to bottom played consistent football. And that was something that they were still searching for. And to do that against a prolific offense that was coming in where they had recorded 300 yards passing and 300 yards rushing against the Buffalo Bills, I mean, that is some statement. And knowing how difficult the schedule gets, that makes it that much sweeter. So top to bottom, a real solid performance from the Giants. You know, I mean, we could be nitpicky here. You could look for areas that certainly they'd like to maybe get better with regarding the red zone efficiency. You know, maybe this also gave them a reason to work David Wilson into games a little bit earlier on. But, you know, Bradshaw's performance was solid. And I know there's a lot of Giants fans are saying, well, why wasn't David Wilson given more of an opportunity? Because Bradshaw's answered the call in back-to-back weeks. That's the answer. It's plain and simple. And he's solid in pass protection. And the last two games, I think Bradshaw should have earned the trust of Giants fans, or the confidence, I should say, of Giants fans, that he could carry a load and he can deliver. 200 yards against the Browns, 116 against a defense that really kicks it up a notch compared to Cleveland. And yes, you don't want to have to continue to feed one running back the ball 27 to 30 times per week. But if you have one that's reliable, that's nothing to complain about. And this was a game where, you know, Eli Manning, I don't want to say could have taken it easy, but he didn't have to do a lot. And that has not been something that the Giants could really point to week in and week out. 15 of 28 for a 193 and a touchdown. He got that early touchdown to Victor Cruz. Dominic Hickson made plays, and Akeem Nix was relatively quiet. I mean, clearly he was not 100%. I think he really fought through that to go out there, serve as a decoy somewhat, to draw some attention, to maybe open up opportunities for others. But to get through a game like this where you're not 100% in your receiving core, you didn't need Eli Manning to throw even 200 yards. I mean, that says a lot about how tough this team is. And to do it against one of the most physical teams in the NFL is a whole other ballgame and a whole other statement that this Giants team made. So, you know, this is a big momentum swinger game that the Giants need to build on. You know, they built on the running performance, which I think was a big positive. You wondered, was last week's performance a flash? Was it a tease? The offensive line came out, protected Eli Manning, and won the battle at the line of scrimmage. So it's a little bit more than a flash and a tease at this point. Now, can the defense build off of this? That's the next unit that you want to see ride that momentum. We're going to take a break. We're going to hear from Tom Coughlin and the players, and then when we return, we'll take your phone calls. Let's hear from head coach.
Did a really nice job early in the game, and we withstood the storm, if you will. Did a nice job in a couple of drives, only giving up 3 points. And then we did just enough on offense to put ourselves in position, and the plus 3 turnovers was huge, obviously. Antrell made a couple of outstanding catches of the ball in a very difficult position. And put us in point-blank range in the second half, and we did have one touchdown, but we ended up with 2 field goals, which somewhat disappointing for where the ball was located. But thank goodness the drive at the end of the game, using up, you know, a lot of the time of the fourth quarter, and putting the ball on the ground with consistency, with 2 backs running, and I understand Ahmad went over 100 yards, which is the first time in, 43 games they've had a rusher go over 100 against them. And that was good today. Very physical front of the 49ers, very physical up front for us. They hurt us with some run-through linebacker plays, untimely for us, I should say. But we were able to withstand it. And, you know, when we kicked that last field goal, we were up, you know, by 3 touchdowns, and that's what I was trying to get done. So good football game for our team. Very good football game for our team. And we the kickoff return after the half was huge. That was a momentum-changing play in that we came out, we knew what we had to do offensively, and they kicked the ball off, and we had a super return. David, again, looked like he might go all the way, but put us in excellent field position. I think that was the drive we scored the touchdown on. So it was the two turnovers that we end up kicking field goal, but that helped an awful lot. That was very, very positive. And the thing that that was amazing to me was the third quarter didn't look like it was ever going to get over. And then we did get it into the fourth, and then the long drive at the end of the game, which used up, 8 minutes or something like that, was very, very significant in that it also told our sideline and our defensive team that the game was under control and that what they would get was one last burst by the 49ers, and they did. They came, right back down the field. Well, we're a good football team, and we came out here with great purpose. We had a very good week of practice. Players were very excited about playing this game. Wasn't any doubt about the way we went through our week of practice. There was great enthusiasm, great energy every day. And the nice thing was the pounding away of the pencil on the defensive line. I think the defensive line finally decided they were going to come out and play today, and they did.
Talk about your offensive line, no sacks the last 3 weeks, no penalties today against this type of defense and the way they played.
Well, the offensive line for the last 2 weeks has had been shouldered with what they really want to do is run the ball. Never fails. It's not a phone going off, it's somebody dropping over in the back. What was the question? The offensive line for the last 2 weeks, they want to run the ball, and they did run the ball very well last week and this week as well. Not easy now. Not easy. But you had to keep at it, and we did keep at it. And so you can't say enough about them just coming out. The opponent knowing we're going to run, we still ran pretty well. Yeah, really, really good plays. Well, obviously, it gave us a lift in that it moved the ball down the field, put us in position. He had two outstanding catches throughout the course of the day. The one was the comeback on the sideline. The other was the one that was contested that evidently they thought the tip of the ball hit the ground, but we didn't think it did. So he comes through for us in clutch situations. Eli's very confident of where he's going to be, does an outstanding job. It was good to get Akeem back in action today so that he could start to get a better feel for where he is on the field as well. And Eli will be more comfortable going there. I thought we might have had him early with a deep ball in the first series that did not materialize for us. Maybe not. We're going to work hard to make sure. We just have to play with, having played well. Understand the circumstance we're in and don't let it affect how we prepare and practice. Be excited about playing everybody. Heck, here we go now, in the division a couple of weeks in a row, and we certainly haven't done well in the division. I'll be thinking about that on that short trip home. Well, I think you have to. We wanted to. We wanted the balance. Someone's mentioned no sacks. Part of that no sacks is because we run the ball, and we stayed with it. Eli does a really good job of getting the ball out of his hand, too. I mean, we had a guy right down the bow on him early in the game, and he, took a pretty good hit. So, but he did get rid of the ball. So it gives us good balance. And against a team like that, you've got to have the ability to have balance, because if they just tee off against one any one area, you got some issues.
That's New York Giants head coach Tom Coughlin. We're here in the Giants locker room, joined by O.C. Manier. O.C., how important was it on those first two drives that they had? They got the ball down the field on you to hold them to field goal attempts.
Very important. They're an excellent football team. We knew if we could keep ourselves in the game, our offense was going to score points, and we needed to keep that point, and that's what we were able to do today.
You guys got some sacks today, but it all starts with – I think you had five totals, but it always starts with stopping the run. You guys held Frank Gore and their entire rushing attack down. Why'd you have so much success?
Well, it was our game plan. Coach Fuel came up with an excellent game plan. We knew we had to stop the run first, and then we're going to get a chance to push the pass. Everybody was talking all that stuff about how we can't do this, how we can't do that, but all we have to do is get the game in the right situation, and we're going to take advantage.
Look like you saw JPP a little more at a defensive tackle today. A little bit of a wrinkle?
Yeah, a little something, man. We needed some help. We had some guys down, and you know, he's big and versatile enough to play anywhere, and, you know, he went inside and he did a great job in there.
Finally, the 49ers win football games by winning the turnover battle. You guys dominated in that respect today. On your roll, a couple of really difficult, great interceptions. How important was that to your victory?
The turnover is always the key to success, especially playing on the road. And, you know, we're able to get some good turnovers, some crucial turnovers, and, you know, we came away with a big win.
Best game of the year. How do you continue this momentum and play as good of a game from your quality of pace standpoint moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, we're a good football team. We know that. I think everybody pretty much knows that. We just have to find a way to play together, and that's what we're able to do today.
OC, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Giants defensive end OC Manure, John Schmelk, Bob Papa here in the New York Giants locker room. Giants big winners over the San Francisco 49ers. Excellent win both sides of the ball here in San Francisco. And we're joined very quickly here by Giants center David Boss. David, you guys ran the ball today against a very good defense. What did you guys do that allowed you to have so much success running the ball?
You know, we just came out there with an attitude. We wanted to set the tone. You know, a lot of people had a lot of things to say about them, and we knew it was about us, about preparing the right way, and about going out there and winning the physical battle. So that's what we tried to do. I think we accomplished that.
Only the second team in something like 44 games to rush for 100 yards against this 49er team. Going into the game, you mentioned they talked a lot. How much pride do you guys take in having the success that you had?
A lot of pride. You know, it takes a lot of hard work. And like you said, they're a very, very good defense. And that's, you know, that's something coming in here that, you know, we just wanted to take care of business. And, you know, that was Eli clean, you know, better than we did last time, and that was our goal. And we accomplished that goal, and the team, you know, played as one, and we came out with a huge victory.
David, thanks a lot.
Appreciate it.
That's David Boss over to Bob Papa. He's with Eli Manning.
Yeah, the Eli Manning postgame interview brought to you by Toyota, the official vehicle of the Giants. Let's talk about your offensive line. No penalties, no sacks the last 3 weeks, the kind of game that they played today.
You know, they're playing great football. Guys up front, we're running the ball well. That second half, ran the ball outstanding when you need to. When you got a lead, you need to hold on to it. That's what they did. First half, we protected well, had some really good drives, mixing in the run and the pass, and so we got to continue to do that. And our defense is playing outstanding, so it was a great team win today.
Talk about the touchdown pass to Victor Cruz.
Yeah, you know, they thought we could get their safeties on the run fake, so you know, did a little play action, got the safeties to step up a little bit, and Victor did a great job running his route off the corner, and had to put a little juice on it. He made a great catch.
Talk about Dominic Hickson and the plays that he made for you today.
Yeah, he had some big plays, a couple third down conversions that led to, you know, some scoring drives. One on a deep one down the sideline, another one rolling out to the right, and you know, catching it on the side, right on the sideline, going out of bounds on a comeback, and then in the 2 minute drive, a couple catches. So, you know, he's that third receiver, and we move him around a good bit, but he's doing a good job getting open and having some key catches for us.
Finally, Ahmad Bradshaw on the professionalism, every snap until late in the game, pass protection, running the ball, what he means to this team.
Yeah, I mean, he's playing great football right now, and he's, you know, you love his toughness. You know, he knows he's got to be in there, and he's getting the runs, he's pass protecting, he does it all. You know, a lot of reps. He's not really coming out of the game much until the very end when we're running it, but you know, he's playing great football, and we need him to continue to do that.
Thanks, Eli.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
All right, let's send it over to John Schmelk. He's with Dominic Hickson.
Well, thanks, Zach. Dominic, maybe the best hands catch I've seen. You had to go down to get the ball, your fingertips underneath the point. Take us through the play and the catch.
We called a play, went out there, you know, tried to run a good route. Eli threw a great ball because he was right on my back, and you know, just thank God for going down, you know, grabbing the ball.
And then on that one deep pass, it looked like both you and the corner misjudged the pass a little bit. You kind of slowed down. And
yeah.
What happened on that play?
You know, when I was running, I just felt like the ball was floating on me. And like you said, just trying to judge it. And, you know, at the same time, trying not to let him get good position on me. But, you know, like I said, thank God for going up and, you know, trying to make a play.
What can you say about the job the offense did, not only scoring but protecting the football, no turnovers?
You know, we knew coming in, you know, they were going to try to strip the ball, and we couldn't turn the ball over. And, you know, defense put us in great field position. And, you know, along with, you know, David Wilson opening up, you know, the second half with great field position, we just, you know, try to capitalize on that.
How about the job your defense did stopping their run and getting your offense great field position?
Awesome job. I mean, 3 points, you know, with a team that put up, I think it was almost 70-some points the past 2 weeks. So, you know, they did an awesome job, you know, stopping their offense.
Dominic, thanks a lot.
All right, thanks.
Giants wide receiver Dominic Hickson, John Schmelk, Bob Papa here in the New York Giants locker room. Giants with a big win in San Francisco against the San Francisco 49ers. Giants now in sole position of first place in the NFC East.
And we bring you back to our coverage here on Giants.com as the Giants victorious 26-3 over the San Francisco 49ers. You heard from head coach Tom Coughlin and a multitude of different players who chipped in on the victory. Most recently, Dominic Kixon, who was discussing some of his big catches. He wound up 4 receptions for 78 yards on the day, 2 of which led to that Victor Cruz touchdown. And some of them were tremendous acrobatic grabs, as well as Antro Roll's interceptions. Those 2 players, you got to tip your cap to them. You got to give them credit in really putting their stamp on this victory, a 26-3 dominant victory for the Giants. As John Schmelk just mentioned, they do improve to 4-2 in sole possession of first place in the NFC East, as the Redskins and the Eagles are 3-3, and the Cowboys, coming off of their bye, fall to 2-3. We're going to open up the phone lines here on our post-game extra. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. If you want to chime in on the conversation, you can use social media as well. Hit us up on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. You can follow and interact with me at Lance Meadow. One word, last name spelled M-E-D-O-W. We start with Mark in Florida. Mark, what's happening?
Hey, Lance, what a game. What a game. I called you before the show. I predicted domination at Candlestick, and we got
it. Yep. You fulfilled your promise, indeed.
I did. I prophesied it. I never had a doubt. I mean, I like what you touched on in the post-game wrap-up. We played a complete game, over 100 yards on the ground. You got to love that against San Francisco defense. We gave up 0 sacks, big picks. You know, I think, in my opinion, you know, the Giants are turning it on early this year. You know, it's not fourth quarter comeback city, and you know, we got to win the last 2-3 games to make the playoffs. If we made that field goal in Philly and we won that Week 1 opener against Dallas, we're sitting at 6-0. So I think we're turning it on early, and I think we're prepared to make another run for the big show. What do you think about that?
No, and that's an excellent point, Mark, and appreciate the phone call. You're right. I mean, you look back at their 2 losses. The Dallas game was maybe a loss that you just got to count and take that for what it's worth. But at the end of the day, the Philadelphia game, they certainly were in a position to win. You know, that field goal, that second one, maybe an inch or two a little closer to the line of scrimmage or more of Tynes' comfort zone, they could have very well have walked out of there with a victory, and they could definitely be a 5-1 team. But, you know, looking back is great. I think the Giants are content with their 4-2 record. They do realize that there's still opportunities to get better and be more consistent. But right now, they are peaking a little bit earlier on in the season than they had in previous years. And the key for them, as Mark just touched on, is not having to rely on Eli Manning's arm in the fourth quarter and not necessarily putting yourself with your back against the wall that you need to put together tremendous play when all of a sudden there's 7 minutes left in the contest. I mean, the Panthers game is another example where start to finish, they were in control. This game, second quarter on, they were in control. They got down early last week against the Cleveland Browns, but they did not wait till the fourth quarter to get back in the game. By halftime, they were already in front. So that was a key for them to bounce back. And then some of the other performances, for the most part, they were in a position to close out the game in the fourth quarter as opposed to being in a position where they needed some miracle plays or game-changing type of plays with very limited time left. The Tampa Bay game may be the only game you could point to where they really cut it close. Outside of that, they have put together good, solid football within the second and third quarters, and they have not had to rely on late game heroics. And you need to know how to win games in multiple different situations. But against the caliber of talent that they went up against today, this game stands out more so than any other performance this season, because this was a team that had a tremendous track record. And I said it before the game, I said it recently right after the game ended, I'll repeat it now, that protected the football and ran the football against each and every one of its opponents. And the Giants prevented them from protecting the football and prevented them from running the football. They actually beat the Niners at their own game. You can make the argument. They protected the football, the Giants, and they ran the football. The Niners couldn't do either of the 2 things that they excelled in week in and week out. And I think it's a positive step in the right direction for the Giants. And you heard David Boss talk about this, Tom Coughlin. You know, they take a lot of pride in getting that running game going. That's been the identity of this franchise dating back not just a year or two, but even prior and decades back. they have not been able to showcase that identity the last couple of years. There's nothing wrong with having to rely on Eli Manning to throw for around 200 and let your running backs and your offensive line bully the opposition. I mean, that's a strong recipe for victory. If they can continue to build off of that, just think about how dangerous this team could be. Last season, it was more, we've got to rely on Eli Manning. We have to rely on the passing game because you're not going to get much out of the running game. Now, all of a sudden, if the running game starts to complement the passing game, that's a balanced attack. And that means that you take even additional pressure off of the defense. And the defense at times had a lot of pressure on its back to keep the score within striking distance so that Eli Manning wouldn't have to mount a huge comeback. He still would be within a touchdown or two away. Let's open up the phone lines once again. We go to John in Florida. John, what's happening?
What's going on? What's going on, man? It's no complaints over here. Our O-line played great. The D-line finally came out and showed us like what they were normally doing last year. The run finally picked up, like you and me touched on at halftime. I said they needed to stay consistent, and they did, and they were breaking out for some good ones. And it was good to see Kiwi on the line today. I think he played good down in his normal spot. And one of my biggest things is it seems like Prince is actually getting better and better each week, which is what we were kind of hoping for, picking him up in the first round. But other than that, and like I said, at halftime,
you got
finally
a Wilson
not
return.
Getting a holding call on returns.
I was just going to say that. I was waiting for you to touch on that aspect.
As soon as he did it, I was like, see, I told you. So, but other than that, no, playing like the Giants were at the end of last year, it's good, and I hope we keep it going. We got some tough games coming up.
All right, John, appreciate the phone call, and John hit on it at halftime. You know, just waiting with patience for David Wilson to finally return one and not be moved back 20 yards, and he answered the call right out of the gates to start the third quarter. If you look back at the play-by-play here, Bradshaw's touchdown was set up by Wilson's big return. It really gave the Giants a gift. They were able to start that drive right around the 30-yard line, and a couple of plays later, they finally punched it into the end zone. So that was a big plus. And John also touched on Matthias Kiwanuka's play. Six sacks overall from this team, and that was a huge topic of discussion. I mean, the players were bombarded by questions on, when are you finally going to get the quarterback hits? When are you going to get the sacks? And you heard Justin Tuck and JPP each and every week just talk about how they weren't having fun because they weren't doing what they've been brought in to do each and every season. And sometimes it's just a matter of patience, and it comes in bunches. And this was an example of how it does come through that aspect, where you had one or two games where it was virtually non-existent, very quiet, and then, boom, just like that, they finally get to the quarterback. And they did so against the Niners offensive line, which has also been fairly consistent in protecting Alex Smith. And they have not necessarily been pressurized themselves, the Niners, in terms of protecting Alex Smith, and also getting to the quarterback. I mean, the Niners only got maybe one or two pressure situations on Manning that he was forced to throw the football away. Outside of that, I mean, they were really having trouble getting into the face of Eli Manning. I think that's in credit to him for getting rid of the football rather quickly. And then on the flip side, you know, the Niners' offensive line was tested throughout the course of this game because the Giants threw different looks at them. And I know we received a lot of calls throughout the course of the week that it's time for Perry Fuel to go back to the drawing board and change his scheme. And you did see a lot of JPP, in the defensive tackle position, which is not a surprise given that Rocky Bernard was down and they're still waiting for Chris Canty to get healthy. And by the way, speaking of Canty, he is eligible to come off the PUP list now that we've played six games. So that will be interesting to see if he's ready through practice this week to perhaps become eligible to play next week against the Redskins. But getting back to my point, they moved Tuck, they moved JPP around a little bit, and JPP was primarily in that defensive tackle spot, and that gave the Niners offensive line a different look and opened up opportunities for the likes of Matthias Kiwanuka. And as a result, you know, Alex Smith held on to the ball a little bit too long, and that's why they were able to get multiple quarterback hits, and that also flustered the Niners' offense and prevented them from really establishing the tempo on the ground. Go back to the lines. We've got Steve in Rhode Island. Steve, what's happening? Steve, are you there? All right. Steve.
Yeah, hey, what's going on?
What you got, Steve?
What's going on? Yeah, sorry, guys.
Steve? All right. Well, Steve, if you have an opportunity to call back, we'll try to get you on. Let's try Jack in Virginia. Jack, what's happening?
Lance, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I have a, if you can see me right now, I have a smile as wide as the distance from Virginia to California, my friend. Listen, you touched on a great point about the Giants pass rush. It always is patience. I mean, we're not on, some people aren't understanding about what teams are doing in terms of max protection and chipping, you know, to do everything they can to slow that pass rush down. But I just want to touch on a couple of things. I just still can't stand the disrespect that, that this team, the team we root for, seems to get in the national media. What I don't understand, people don't seem to get that. How many man injury games, I mean, how many games have we lost to, you know, to injuries in terms of, you know, in the last 2 years? Everybody talks about how bad the Giants' record was last year, and people don't even realize how many people were out. How many people have been out in and out this year with this team? You know, I mean, for various different things. I mean, you know, Will Hill, the latest thing, and it's not even injury-related. You know, so I don't understand how people, you know, just seem to overlook this, that there's so many moving parts in and out. You lose a great player like Hakeem Nicks. You know, Ramsey's Barden steps in. Then he gets a concussion. And this is what I don't get. I just think that the coaching staff that we have does such a phenomenal job of getting the next guy up ready. And one question I really want to ask you very quickly. When Canty is eligible, as you said, to come off of the PUP list, who would you see the Giants, I guess, for lack of a better word, cutting? Would it be Justin Tryon? Like, I certainly hope it isn't a young, developing player like a Coon, you know, because I think that a guy like that could, you know, in years to come, could be a major force. So thanks, Lance, and take your answers off the air.
All right, appreciate the phone call, Jack. And just to first piggyback off of your point about the Giants getting a lack of respect, listen, they seem to respond when they don't get much respect. So I understand Giants fans are frustrated. They finally want to see the so-called experts pick the Giants each and every week. But you know what? My philosophy is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. The Giants seem to respond when they are not picked, and they are the underdogs. There are so many examples that you could point to over the last four or five seasons where the Giants didn't stand a chance compared to most of the experts, and they've risen to the occasion, and they've done it in pure dominance, such as the example that you can throw out today against the San Francisco 49ers. So you're right. You know, the depth chart has responded. The coaching staff has responded. This team has been well prepared each and every week. I thought also they were tested in that short turnaround with the Panthers game. They were on the road, which is a very difficult circumstance. They only had 2 days of practice. The Panthers had an additional day, and they did not miss a beat. And this is a game also where, you know, they were coming off a grueling victory against the Cleveland Browns. They fell down early, and they responded. You know, Ahmad Bradshaw has responded with the injury to Andre Brown. He's taken more of a load on. You mentioned Ramsey's Barden filling in for Hakeem Nicks. Barden goes down, then Reuben Randall steps in. Reuben Randall, not much of a factor today. Dominic Hixon has now put together a string of three or four games where he's been Eli Manning's security blanket. And this has also been the last couple of games where Martellus Bennett hasn't been a factor. It's been a game of musical chairs. You spin around the wheel, and you just pick a guy out of your hat, and all of a sudden, he responds. So, you know, that speaks volumes to the Giants' depth chart and how well guys pay close attention during practice, know the scheme, and buy into the program. That's what's important, especially when you have draft picks that were high picks that had tremendous college careers. And a lot of times these guys have big bubbly personalities, and they're not willing to all of a sudden take on a secondary role. The David Wilsons, the Reuben Randalls of the world. But they've bought into it. They have had their confidence shaken a bit on the field, especially with Wilson. And he then has had an opportunity to redeem himself, and he's taken full advantage of that. And I think the coaching staff has seen that as well. Same thing with Randall. His work ethic was questioned. Last week, he comes out, a lot of injuries to the receiving core, and he comes up big. And getting back to the other point that Jack touched on with respect to Chris Canty, as I mentioned, Canty, as a result of being on the PUP list, had to sit out the first six games. So he's completed that first part of the equation. They're 4-2 through the first six games. He is eligible to return to practice this week. But it's similar to the Tyler Sass situation. Just because a guy's eligible, and he may have been staying in shape while the 6 weeks have progressed, it's a whole other story whether or not he's in football shape. And what I mean by that is, Chris Canty has yet to put on the pads. He has yet to bang bodies with his teammates. He has yet to test out that knee at full speed. That will determine whether or not the Giants have confidence in activating him and getting him back onto the PUP list. Now, when they choose to bring Canty back, then, as Jack alluded to, they're going to have to cut somebody. I don't foresee them cutting a defensive tackle. And the reason I say that is because even if you're confident that Canty can contribute, you also have to take into consideration he's coming off a knee surgery and a knee injury. And God forbid he re-aggravates that injury, you're going to lose and sacrifice your depth at that position. So I don't think they're going to cut ties with Marcus Kuhn. I think they've been pretty happy with the progress he has made. They've been happy, obviously, with the play of Linville Joseph and Rocky Bernard, but Bernard's also banged up. That's why if Bernard's banged up, Canty's banged up, and Marvin Austin has still been slow in his progression, you can't afford to cut ties with Marcus Kuhn. But remember, it creates a difficult situation here because you're banged up in your secondary. I know Jack threw out Tryon. I don't know if they can afford to get rid of a corner or even a safety, perhaps, because Will Hill is now serving a suspension. Tyler Sass just came back. So, you know, you don't know what type of situation you're going to be caught up in. It's going to be a tough position. Right now, if I was to guess, and this is just pure speculation, you may be, depending if Andre Brown gets back to full health, you know, a Darrell Scott. You know, given that he hasn't had much of an opportunity to perform in special teams, maybe if you can move him to the practice squad, and I don't even think he's eligible because he's taken part in so many practices. So, you know, there's going to be a tough decision when Canty is ready to come back. That's why don't be surprised if Canty maybe still sits out a week or two. I think the Giants are going to take their time in moving him back very slowly. That is how they've done it with other injuries. And remember, they did not activate Sash all of a sudden. And the only reason why they were able to activate Sash and bring him back, the decision was made easy for them because Hill was all of a sudden suspended for the same thing. So they weren't put in a position where they had to cut somebody. Another name I'll throw out there, and once again, this is pure speculation. You know, Mitch Petras was one of the last guys cut when they had to slim down the 53-man roster. Now that Deal's back, now that you're looking a little bit healthier at the offensive line, perhaps that's a direction they go to make room for a Canty. But I really don't think you can afford to get rid of a guy in the secondary or even a defensive tackle. Let's go back to the lines. We got Drew in Virginia. Drew, what's happening?
Hey, Lance, how you doing, man? Bittersweet day for me, man. Yankees ain't looking too sweet there.
No, they are not. And if this was Yankees.com, Drew, I'd feel more than happy to break down that game for you.
But I know. We're not going to talk about
exactly.
It. I got you. I'm just saying. But, hey, man, I'm happy we won, man. I didn't see the game because, obviously, I'm in Redskin country, but I did listen to it on the show. Man, you know, it amazes me, man, how people just continuously just dismiss the Giants like they're not a good team, man. And, you know, for the Giants to walk in there in San Francisco and do what they did, man, you know, hopefully to shut some people up. I know it's not going to, but, you know, every time this team has faced it, you know, major, you know, challenges, they stepped up to the plate, you know, when they had to go into Carolina that week where they had the short week and they were severely beat up. They put up a major defensive show, shut them up. Now we walk into San Francisco, do the same thing, man. So, you know, the team's looking great, man. The special teams, man, they sound like they coming along. So we got a good team, man. It's just that it kind of makes me mad that, you know, people, and when I mean people, I'm talking about the sports reporters, the quote-unquote professionals, tend to still dismiss this team. And you know, I know you're going to say the Giants don't care and this and that and everything else, but, you know, I just really would kind of like to hear what your opinion is on that. And I'll take that off the air.
All right, Drew, appreciate the phone call. And speaking of Drew's home territory, the Giants are going to welcome the Redskins to town next week at MetLife Stadium. So I'm sure Drew will be able to enjoy the game since he is in that backyard next week. And we will touch on the Redskins a lot. If you want to chime in on the Redskins, I'll feel free to touch on that a little bit. But right now, everybody's in the mode of recapping and enjoying the victory over the Niners, 26-3. And what Drew touched on is something that Jack also touched on earlier on the show, is this whole respect issue. And you know, listen, I'll repeat what I said, and I know it may becomes repetitive after a while, but if you ask the players, if you ask the coaching staff, the media can talk up a storm. I mean, they could tell you that the Niners are the greatest team in the NFL. The Niners are the most balanced offensive team in the NFL. The Niners boast the best defense in the league. And the Giants are going to tell you they don't care. And you know what? You can make that out to be just generic football talk, but based on how they perform, I really think they don't care. You know, this is not the type of team that reads the papers. And Tom Coughlin, I could tell you personally, is the last guy that's sitting down and reading the newspaper or listening to radio shows during the course of the week. I mean, he's got plenty on his plate with respect to just getting this team in the best position from the preparation standpoint to be ready for the game. So the coaching staff does not get bottled down in the media. And we have Pat Hanlon on our morning show every Friday, who's the head of communications, and he's the only guy that would put a newspaper in front of Tom Coughlin, and Coughlin doesn't want to see it. It perhaps will start to change if the Giants start building victories from one week to another. Perhaps the media's perception of this team will start to change. Because, you know, listen, I'm not going to try to play devil's advocate here, but let's put things in perspective. I mean, the Niners were 4-1 coming into this game. The Giants were 3-2. The Niners had outscored their last couple of teams 79-3. They were playing more consistent, more sound football than the Giants. I mean, that speaks what you see on paper. I mean, I'm not making that up here. So you can understand why there was some momentum behind the Niners. And that's why, maybe based on the lines and the spreads or whatever you see out there, they were getting the edge early on. And a lot of people were also, I think, taking into consideration the Niners were hungry to get revenge from the NFC Championship loss, and they were going to put that on their shoulders. And that certainly did not play out the way they wanted to. And the Giants were not looking back at last season because they won that game. So they didn't need to use that as motivation. If the Giants start playing consistent football, I think the respect will start to come their way. And the reason why they didn't get a lot of respect last season is because it was similar to how this season started out. You know, you get a win one week, and then you take a step back the next week. Then you get a win, and that's how all of a sudden you end up with a 7-7 record, and you need a must-win situation in the final couple of weeks, and the Giants answered the call. If they avoid that situation this season, they're going to be the heavy favorites. You know, 4-2 there right now. They're setting the tone in the NFC East. They're entering now a stretch in which the schedule gets that much more difficult each and every week. If they start putting together wins and they start consistently performing, and what I mean by that is the running game builds off of now two solid performances. Will the defense continue to stop the run? Remember, last week, Trent Richardson had a pretty good game on the ground. The week before, LeSean McCoy had a pretty good game on the ground. This week, you can't say that about Frank Gore. Frank Gore had 8 carries for 36 yards. Now, the Giants set themselves up pretty, because when you get a comfortable lead, you force the opposition to have to throw the ball and abandon the run. That's still, you have to give credit for the Giants for executing their game plan. So they contain the run for the Niners. And the Niners are a team that leans heavily on that facet of football. They don't want to put the hands of this game in Alex Smith. You saw that today. That's why he threw 3 interceptions. Their game plan was they would like to see Frank Gore carry the ball 25 times. They'd like to see Kendall Hunter as a change of pace carry 7-8 times. And they thought that that was the way they were going to milk the clock through time of possession, which is how the game seemed to be playing out early on. But the Giants got turnovers. They started to open things up in the passing game. They continue to perform at this level, I think the respect will start to come. But if you look back, big picture, of what the circumstances were entering this game, it's not much of a stretch as to why a lot of the experts picked the Niners. Regardless of the fact that the Giants had beaten this team in the NFC Championship and were certainly one of the top teams in the NFC. But I think the Niners were playing more consistently coming in. That's just the big picture. Right now, the Giants should start to get some respect. I mean, they basically silenced the team that was crowned the team to beat in the NFC. And this was some statement today. And if they continue to make statements like this, the media is going to have no choice but give them some respect. Let's go back to the lines. We've got Sam. We go all the way overseas to Germany. Sam, what's happening?
Hey, Lance. Thank you for the opportunity. Just wanted to talk a little bit more about the pundits and what they've been saying. I totally agree with you. I think we're used to the power ranking thing with college ball, but you cannot really compare college ball to the NFL. You know, I mean, in the NFL, a team's first today, they're dead last tomorrow. You know, it just depends on their performance of the week. But I tell you what, just changing subjects a little bit, I see a great talent in Wilson, and I would like to see the Giants probably use him as another way, because, I mean, he's so talented that you have to account for him if you're the opposing defense. And I kind of see comparisons in his maturation process to Reggie Bush, because I see it this way. He's so quick. He has a lot of speed that even if you put him out there as a decoy or something, someone has to account for him and probably opens up plays and opens up different things for other players. And I just wanted to get your input on that. What do you think about them probably putting in Reggie Bush in different scenarios other than just probably handing him the ball?
All right, appreciate the phone call, Sam. Thanks so much. Touching on David Wilson, let's just hope for David Wilson's sake he doesn't follow the trend of Reggie Bush when it comes to staying healthy on the football field with regard to his maturation, but definitely understand the point that Sam was bringing up, and Wilson has tremendous playmaking ability. You can't take that away from him. I mean, when he's out on the field, he makes things happen, and I think that the Giants are starting to see that when they give him more than just a carry or two, he can gain some additional rhythm, additional confidence. And I mentioned this at halftime because there were a number of phone calls regarding David Wilson. Why has he not gotten some carries in the first half? Why hasn't he played a prominent role? And I thought if the Giants got out to a comfortable lead and they felt that they wanted to spell Bradshaw a little bit, Wilson's number would be called. And it was. The game played out exactly that way. And that's why you saw him get seven carries down the stretch. As long as he continues to improve and mature in the case of pass protection, you will see more of David Wilson. But I keep resorting back to this pass protection scheme because it's similar to Darrell Scott last season. And everybody was calling for Darrell Scott to get out on the football field because Darrell Scott was the hot ticket last season at this point. He was the guy that had some flashy plays in the preseason, remember? You know, had the ability to contribute on special teams, had that speed factor, had that energy factor, and each and every week, the question was, Brandon Jacobs is struggling, am I Bradshaw struggling, why not turn to Darrell Scott? And every week, the same answer was, Darrell Scott struggles in pass protection. That's why Darrell Scott did not see the football field. And with David Wilson, it's the similar circumstance for him. I think he's improving in that category. The way you improve is through practice. You know, they're looking at him each and every day. It's not as if they're not putting him in situations to succeed. If he continues to prove himself against the likes of Tuck, Kiwanuka, JPP, OC, I mean, he's tested. It's not as if he's going up against the C or the D team out on the practice squad. He's going up against top-line starters. Then they will give him an opportunity to flourish out on the football field. That's what's going to happen at the end of the day. So I preach patience regarding David Wilson again. I think his role will increase as the weeks progress. I don't think they want a Matt Bradshaw to have to carry the ball 25 to 30 times each and every week, given specifically his injury history, even though he's been successful the last two games. They're a better offensive attack. They're a more balanced offensive attack when you have two different style running backs. And you have a different style in what Wilson and Bradshaw gives you. I mean, Wilson's got tremendous burst out of that hole. And it would be foolish to keep him on the sidelines. But it's all about the opportunity and the trust that the coaching staff has in him and the situations. You know, when they're down, perhaps, and they're looking to throw the ball, they're probably going to have Bradshaw in more often than not. But if they put themselves in a situation like today, where you have a lead and you're in a position where you got to milk the clock, there's nothing wrong with bringing in Wilson and let him close the door. He could be a closer. I could see him definitely fulfill the role. He doesn't necessarily have to just be a change of pace running back. And the other thing I wanted to bring up with respect to David Wilson, this goes back to a point that was discussed throughout the week. I had Cam Inman on, who covers the Niners for the Bay Area News Group, and he said the one thing that the Niners have had trouble with their defense was Percy Harvin. he's such a versatile player. He's a running back. He's a wide receiver. He's a special teamer. And that was an area that the Vikings looked to take full advantage of. And I posed this question even throughout the week. I said, who do the Giants have on this team that could maybe mimic a Percy Harvin and could create a mismatch or cause some havoc for the Giants, for the Niners, excuse me? David Wilson, to me, was the one player that came to mind. And I think he answered that call on special teams. He didn't have so much of an opportunity on offense, but when he got out there, he was wearing down that Niners defensive front. And that is a big positive that I think the Giants can build on. But it's all about the opportunity, how a game plays out, to determine how much of a role David Wilson can get moving forward. Go back to lines. We got Alan in D.C. Alan, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, Lance? Very, very happy about the win. It was a great game for us. I saw Dominique Hickson. He was balling. You know, Victor Cruz, he was dancing. Eli was elite, man. And, you know, our defense really played a big role in this game. Prince Mukamura with the interception, Andre Roe. Was amazing with, you know, what he could do. And, you know, good to see JPP and, you know, the rest of the guys get six sacks and only allow 3 points. It was an impressive win, and it lets you know how good we can be when we're balanced, you know. And I'm excited, and, you know, the NFC East is a very tough division, and we're, you know, even though we have the two division losses, I'm looking forward to the Redskins game, you know, next week. Actually, on the Redskins game is my birthday, and, you know what I'm going to be wishing for, you know. So, you know, I would just like to know what you guys think about how we're looking in the NFC East, and, you know, just a great win for all of us.
Absolutely, and appreciate the phone call, Alan, and a happy early birthday, as I'm sure if the Giants win next week, it'll make the birthday even sweeter, as you're talking about the NFC East and the makeup of the division. And yes, the Giants are 4-2, but they got a long way to go. I mean, this division is really tight. You've got just the Redskins and the Eagles just one game back, so next week's game is going to be key in the Giants having another opportunity to build more of a cushion and finally getting that first division game, because although they're 4-2, they still have no wins in the division. And after the Redskins, they're going to get the Cowboys. So you've got an opportunity now with consecutive weeks against divisional opponents, an opportunity to, you know, really pull ahead in the division. You know, as big as this win was against the Niners today, the key is to now build off of it and use that as momentum to make a statement within the division. And the Cowboys, who are hurting now on all sides of the football and in the standings at 2-3, you know, if the Giants can start to put together a couple of victories, you maybe now don't have to put yourself in a position where you got to win a game that comes down to the last game of the regular season. You want to do your damage now so that it's not a struggle late where you put yourself with your back against the wall and it's a must win and the margin for error is minute. The way you get around that is taking care of business earlier on in the season, something that, let's face it, the Giants struggled with last year. That's why they were a 7-7 team. It was up 1 week, down the next week. Up the next week, down the following week. And that's why I said it gets back to the respect issue. The way you earn respect is by playing consistent football. It's as simple as that. So the Giants had a good win against the Browns, but remember, they weren't going to earn any bonus points by beating the Browns. And I'm not dismissing the Browns, and I'm not saying that they don't have talent. You know, they're a good football team. You know, there's professionals on that team. It's not as if they're going up against a Division II college football squad. Hey, Cleveland, by the way, got its first win today over Cincy. But when you beat a team that's at the top, that's when you start to send the airwaves across the country. And you start to create a buzz. This can do that. You got to now build on that against the Redskins. And what's intriguing, just to give you a little early tease about the Redskins game, is now you got that mobile quarterback back in play. And that is an area that has troubled the Giants somewhat. And I know Alex Smith is a mobile quarterback, but RG3 takes it to a whole other level. And RG3 did plenty of damage by knocking off the Vikings today. He had 2 rushing touchdowns and passed for 1. And he was coming off a concussion. They're going to have to slow him down. That clearly is going to be the early scouting report when it comes to the Redskins. We go to Larry in Texas. Larry, what's happening? Larry, you there? Okay. Larry, if you have an opportunity, give us a ring back. We'll try to get you on. Let's go to Harvey in South Carolina. Harvey, what's happening?
Hey, Lance, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. By the way, there are a lot of Giant fans in Charleston, South Carolina. I want to let you know that.
Well, good.
And I'm one of the biggest.
Good to hear from you, Harvey. What you got on today's game?
First of all, what a great win. All my friends down here in Charleston said we didn't have a chance. We came through. Let's give some kudos to the assistant coaches, the offensive line coach, the defensive back coach. Incredible. We've had guys hurt all season long, and people keep stepping up. The second point I want to make is, how do we keep the momentum next week against the Redskins? You know what happens when we go home, Lance?
Yeah.
And, yeah, go ahead.
No, I agree with you. You know, they're road warriors. They're not necessarily a team that takes care of business and plays consistent football at home, so that's an excellent point.
Well, I'll tell you what. I just hope they keep the momentum. Like you said, RG3 is very dangerous. It's a huge division game. We're 0-2, and even though we're 4-2, we need a division win, and I sure hope we come back next week and win that game. But how about Bradshaw, too? Two bad feet, and look how he's come back to be an incredible runner. It's just amazing, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, Harvey, appreciate the phone call, and you're right. You know, Ahmad Bradshaw, Giants fans were even writing him off. Everybody was calling for David Wilson the first couple of games. They said, listen, Ahmad Bradshaw dances too much. He doesn't stick to the scheme. He doesn't stick to the holes. It's time to move on to Andre Brown. Andre Brown had that big game against Carolina. Everybody was like, it's time for the 50-50 split, or it's time for the 60-40 split. We took phone calls. There were people arguing that Andre Brown should be the starter. Ahmad Bradshaw should go to the second layer change of pace running back and just back up Andre Brown. Then Brown gets hurt. Bradshaw runs for 200 yards. And now he puts together 116 against one of the top rushing defenses. And all of a sudden, now the tide is starting to turn, that Ahmad Bradshaw can carry the load. And he's another guy that has weathered the storm due to injuries. And what Harvey just touched on, the offensive line, and we haven't really talked about individuals. We've talked about the unit. But, you know, Deal comes back today and was in as a tackle-eligible player. They moved him around a bit, added some extra depth to that line. But the way that they protected Eli Manning the last couple of games and the way that they have helped open up that running game, I mean, you got to give that offensive line a lot of credit. And pass protection hasn't necessarily been an issue for the Giants, even dating back to last season. Now, Eli Manning took a beating against the Niners in the NFC Championship game. Outside of that, they were consistent. But where they struggled was the running game. Sean Locklear, I think, has played really well lately. Kevin Booth certainly has given them some versatility. Boss is now healthy, so that has helped out. Remember, he had the swollen hand a couple of games ago in the Philly game and the bad snap that cost him some favorable field position. You get everybody healthy. You get everybody practicing throughout the week. The results start to show game day. Last year, the problem was one offensive lineman would get hurt 1 week. Then another offensive lineman would get hurt the following week. They never had the same nucleus of guys out there week to week. This season, it's not necessarily the case. And now Deal's coming back. You know, you're going to gain some more continuity with that line. That is going to help as the season progresses. And, you know, it's the old cliche, well, if your offensive line is healthy, then you're going to run the football. But the cliche is true. Let's be honest. When the line's healthy, they run the ball. And they protect Eli Manning. Sometimes you say to yourself, it's too simple. It can't be that easy. No, it can. Because when you look back at previous seasons, they have not been healthy in that category. So that has really set them on a good pace moving forward. And, you know, just to look forward to the Redskins game, clearly they're going to want to run the football. I think they're going to have greater success also moving the football through the air. Not that they didn't have success today, but the Redskins have struggled with respect to their secondary. They have not been able to limit opposing offenses. Today, Christian Ponder, even though the Redskins won by 12, Ponder threw for 352 yards. So they have had success moving the football against the Redskins' secondary. And then when it comes to the ground game, you know, Peterson had 79 and Ponder ran for 13, so they nearly had 100 yards on the ground, too. You can move the football against this Redskins' D, but the Redskins can move the football on you. And that's the key. I mean, RG3 is a dual-threat quarterback, very dangerous. Alfred Morris, their young rookie running back, has really gelled well with this offense. He's made an immediate impact. and they've got some playmakers in the receiving game. Not guys that are going to wow you. Pierre Garçon's been hurt, but you had Santana Moss step up today. Fred Davis has made some plays. Hankerson, Morgan. You know, as I mentioned, it's not guys that are going to jump off the page. They're not Pro Bowl-esque wide receivers, but if RG3 has opportunities, he'll make plays. That's why number one right off the bat is gap control. They've got to be aware of where RG3 is at all times because he's the type of player that you think you have him bottled up, he'll break out of the tackle and make it a 10-yard gain for a first down. So that's got to be priority number one to really contain him and, you know, solidify the Giants' defensive line by winning the battle at the line of scrimmage again. If they put together a performance like they did today, Redskins are going to be in for a very long afternoon. You know, they took away today the Niners' money game. That was their running game. The Redskins' money game is one player. His name's RG3. You contain him, you do some damage control, you put yourself in a position to win a football game. We go to Ace in Atlantic City. Ace, what's happening?
Hey, thanks, Lance, for taking my call.
Sure, what you got, Ace?
I would like to thank, you know, Coach Coughlin, because everybody forgets that the coach, I'm like, hey, he leads his team. And since Carolina, he has coached the Giants in, to each team, not for division or what we're going to do roundabout, but to play to their strengths and to their weaknesses. From Carolina all the way through, the team has adapted to play that game and played all the way to the end. And so, I mean, I can give out my kudos to the coach because you put the coaching staff, you know, watch the game film, watch what they're doing, and then make your team play that game and not play the Cowboy game, whatever, down the road, but play the game that we got to play in front of us and, you know, coach him to that game. And he's done it great. That's why we seem to have this win today, because we knew what their strengths were. I mean, we knew they had that they were trying to do this air ball thing, but we knew that wasn't their strength. Their strength was the running game. Let's take that away and make him play an air game. And when he did it, that's how we came away with this win the way it did.
Yeah, the mental preparation on top of just the X's and O's preparation has been key for the Giants. And I appreciate the phone call, Ace. And you know what? I even want to go back a couple of seasons. I'm not trying to bring back bad memories for Giants fans, but, you know, there was so much speculation about Tom Coughlin's job security each and every season after they missed the playoffs, and there were questions about, you know, is Coughlin the right guy? And you know what John Mara would point to each and every season at the end of the year, despite all the media speculation? He felt that the players still respond to the head coach. That was his consistent statement every season. And the reason why he did not want to pull the trigger on making a new coach come in and set a new tempo and a new scheme and a new staff was because the players still bought in to what Tom Coughlin was preaching. And that's why I brought in the mental perspective here. It's not just about the fact that, yes, they are well prepared when it comes to the X's and O's, this Giants coaching staff. They have these guys prepared for the tendencies that they're going to see on both sides of the field, but also the message that he sends the team and how they respond to that. And you get a tease of it on Giants.com. I know they do a nice job of posting some of his post-game chats and even some of his pre-game chats. Always keeping things in perspective and not looking ahead, as Ace just brought up. You know, some teams somehow, you know, you hear the trap game. Oh, they're looking past their opponent, such as last week. Giants are looking past the Browns because they've got the Niners circled on their calendars. They know that's going to be a big statement game. That's the team that they ousted in the NFC Championship. That's the team they got to beat because everybody's picking the Niners to be the favorite. Well, if you get too far ahead, you let one slip away. And that has been at the forefront the last couple of seasons with some tough losses at home to the Seahawks. They almost lost one to the Bills down the stretch if it wasn't for that late interception. They keep things from a week-to-week basis. That's how they look at things. And right now, you know, they're not even looking ahead at the Redskins. They're looking at what this Niners win means, but then tomorrow it's put the game film in. Look at what you could get better from the Niners game. That's the message today, even after this victory. What they're going to be talking about on the plane ride home is the missed opportunities today. And I know it's very hard because that's really being nitpicky, but that's how the coaching staff focuses because that's how they have to get them geared up for this Redskins game. And Tom Coughlin, to me, what really makes him stand out compared to other coaches is he'll sell a team up. And you see that on the Wednesday press conference. Like he sold the Browns up. And you could be sitting back at home and you look at the Browns numbers and you're like, Brandon Weeden, you know, has struggled at times and they don't really have a big name wide receiver. He will find, and even if he's got to dig deep, he will find the stat that will wow you when it comes to the Cleveland Browns. That's how you take coaching to another level. And that's how you can be ahead of the game compared to some of the other competition. Sometimes coaching gets overlooked. It's the players that get all the money and all the accolades, and they're the ones that got to make the plays. But the mental preparation, I think this team has mental fortitude. It may not be consistent because you see some lapses at home, but when they got to rise up for a game, they certainly answer that call, and I think today was another example. Let's go to Charles in Alabama. Charles, what's happening?
Hey, thanks for taking my call tonight. Look, the Giants are Super Bowl champions. They went out to San Francisco, and they represented themselves as Super Bowl champions. You know, the Niners have been held this year as the standard in the NFC, and the Giants went out there and did their job. And Alex Smith, as far as he's concerned, I think he woke up today and realized he's still just Alex Smith. He's not Joe Montana. The defensive line woke up, great plays as far as the offensive line, defensive line, and you touched on it. The coaching for the Giants has been absolutely phenomenal, and don't think they will not be prepared next weekend for Washington. Eli Manning he's a witch right now. Everything he does is just phenomenal, his accuracy. They've got all facets of their game going early in the season, and I don't remember – it's been a while since we've seen a regular season game where they've played so balanced this time of year with this kind of schedule. So, again, a lot of hope for them right now. And they just look good. If they can keep the injuries down, they look solid.
They do, and appreciate the phone call, Charles. And he's right. It's hard to remember when the Giants were clicking this early or where they had a balance. And that's what this performance showed today. The passing game, the running game on offense – looked really good, and you look at the breakdown of plays, something that I didn't really keep close tabs on. Let's see, Manning threw the ball 28 times. They ran the ball more than they threw the ball, and I think Tom Coughlin has no complaints with that. They ran the ball 37 times. They threw the ball 28. They'll take that. That's not a problem. That means you're doing something right if you can run the football more so than you can pass. Defense forced turnovers. Special teams had good returns to put the offense in favorable field position. You got every facet chipping in, and that was certainly a big key. And the other thing that Charles actually just touched on with respect to Eli Manning and his preparation, and this was something that he even brought to the forefront a couple of weeks ago, during every week, especially when he's had young receivers have to step in for injuries. For example, the game that Reuben Randall had to fill in when Barden and Nix weren't available against the Browns, he had his own private meeting with Reuben Randall for about 25 to 30 minutes. They sat down, they watched film, and Manning is pointing out to Reuben Randall all of the different blitz packages that the Browns do, how their corners tend to line up, what they can look to attack, and so forth. You know, I'm not saying that other quarterbacks don't do that. You know, if you get to this level, you're here because of your success rate and your level of preparation. But, you know, the fact that obviously Manning drew attention to that and Randall even drew attention, that's what you want to see. That's how you beat the opponent. If you take the time out of your schedule from your individual workouts and your individual preparations and help groom a young receiver, I mean, that says a lot about where this team stands right now. And they have a number of young guys that they're expecting to contribute. Randall's one of them. Wilson's another. And it's the same thing how Bradshaw took Wilson by the side the minute he got that fumble. You got to put that behind you, and you got to bounce back. You know, that's what this game is about. And that's what the Giants coaching staff was waiting to see. They were waiting to see David Wilson respond. And perhaps they have now seen enough that his role will increase. And I think we've seen that the last couple of weeks. His number of carries have gone up, and he's been making plays in special teams. So, you know, that's something to get excited about if you're a Giants fan. You know, this is what Wilson is bringing to the table now. Keep in mind, he's only had 6 games under his belt. What happens when he has 12 games under his belt? Think about how much more experience he's going to gain and how far he will have come with regard to his development when we're talking week 13 or week 14. So there's a lot to build off of from what the Giants are doing in just six games. And if they can stay healthy, that's always the million-dollar question. You know, they've had some injuries to deal with early on, and I think the positive has been that the depth chart has been tested and the depth chart has answered the call. And it's not just been the receivers. It's been the defensive tackles. Marcus Kuda's filled in when he has had to answer the call. When Canty's been banged up and Rocky Bernard's been banged up, you've seen it in the secondary. Stevie Brown, he's filled in for Kenny Phillips, and he made game-changing type of plays. Will Hill made game-changing type of plays before his suspension. Prince Amukamara is starting to gain some consistency. The running game, Andre Brown stepped in. Martellus Bennett had provided a lift for the first three games. You know, it's not just one area. That, oh yeah, they got great depth in the running game, but elsewhere they're in trouble. No, somebody goes down, no matter what position, the next player in line is ready. And that speaks volumes as to how much preparation is being put in during the week. And it's not just the guy that they're grooming who's going to get the 30 carries. It's the guy that may even just get one carry in a small package, such as a David Wilson. And now all of a sudden you're seeing him start to blossom week in and week out. So overall, as we discussed, a solid balanced attack for the Giants. The final score shows that 26-3 over the Niners. They improved to 4-2. They're now in sole possession of first place in the NFC East. You've got the Redskins and the Eagles one game back at 3-3, and the Cowboys are 2-3. And it sets the stage for another division rivalry to be renewed at MetLife Stadium next week at 1 o'clock when the Redskins visit the Giants, an opportunity for the Giants to build off of a solid performance, continue that defensive intensity, continue to get that running game going, and perhaps notch their first win in the division, as despite the 4-2 record, they are 0-2 in the NFC East. And when it comes to tiebreakers and it comes to the battle atop the division, in order to do that, you need to win those division rival games. So this will be another opportunity for the Giants to head in the right direction. But they are going to be tested with RG3, who has made a lot of noise and also a limited resume. He just has six games under his belt, and he already has single-handedly helped the Redskins walk away with a number of victories in a lot of tight games. So that will be an intriguing matchup. As I mentioned, 1 o'clock kickoff. We'll start our pregame show 12:30. Same script as always. Take your phone calls leading up to kickoff in between every commercial break. Back with you to break down the action. Take your calls at halftime and then have our full postgame show immediately following the game. Really appreciate the phone calls. Appreciate the insights. Appreciate the analysis from the fans. You help make this show what it is. And we're going to be with you each and every week throughout the course of the season. We'll be back tomorrow morning, Big Blue kickoff. John Schmelk, after he gets limited sleep from the long flight back from San Francisco, he'll be back with me from 9:30 to 10:30 Eastern, and we will continue to get player reaction and give you our thoughts on the Niners game. Start to look forward to the Redskins and also take your phone calls. Special thanks to my producer, John Vasquez. We will see you next Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff. We'll be on the air at 12:30. Enjoy the victory, the Giants. Atop the NFC East standings all alone at 4-2 after a 26-3 victory over the San Francisco 49ers. Have a good one.